Over the last several weeks, we've been going through what we've been calling a series calling Rooted and Grounded, and going through all of these various important doctrines, what the Bible says about very important issues, things that we believe, because not because it's a man's opinion or idea, but it's because it's based upon the Word of God. By the way, John Harris, good to see you here tonight also. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's absolutely no way that we can go through a subject like we have tonight in just a few minutes. And so I won't belabor this tonight because there's too much information. Maybe down the road. But what we're going to do is we're going to give an overview of this. And our motivation is to stir up your heart and your interest, your desire to be used of God. We've talked a lot about recently the importance of the church and the body of Christ and how that not any of us are able to individually accomplish much. But whenever we really pull together and we bind together as a body, then a lot can be accomplished, especially when we're united with the church, you know, everywhere, whether it's the body of Christ, people who are believers, the church can get a lot done whenever there is a spirit of unity and working together, cooperating together. And that's such an important thing. And so we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit tonight, and we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me. And be sure that at the close of the service that you stay around for just a few minutes, because we're going to baptize Brother Josh Gilpin here tonight. And so we're looking forward to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read here beginning with verse number 1. And by the way, thanks to Brother James Hacker, who this morning in the service, we probably had 25 or 30 scriptures. And those don't just pop up there on the screen automatically. It's a whole lot of effort to get that put together, to make that happen. But I think it really adds, it's really a benefit whenever you see the Word of God put up for us. And it just kind of reinforces what we're talking about. And especially for some who may not have your Bible with you, then you can benefit from that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and reading with verse, beginning with verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You're going to see that phrase a number of times in this reading here tonight. By the same Spirit. By the same Spirit. And it's a reminder to us that all of these gifts are all working cooperatively together. They all have a place, they all are important, and they need to be active in the body of Christ, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all by the same Spirit. Verse 5, it says, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Why has he given to the church the gifts of the Spirit? There's the answer. That we can profit. That the Lord can help us. And we will benefit from these wonderful gifts. Verse 8, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And we're going to skip down in the same chapter to verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. Now, if you're a reader of the Bible, if you are a reader of the New Testament especially, then there's no way that you could ever read the New Testament and ignore the fact that in almost every chapter, and sometimes several times in the same chapter, you will see something supernatural taking place. If there's anything that characterized the New Testament church as you read through, especially the book of Acts, it is that there are continually wonderful, mighty, supernatural things that are going on. Amen. Healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. Unbelievable and wonderful miracles that are taking place there in the New Testament. And it's not just there at the inception of the church, but years later, several years later, when the Apostle Paul is just about ready to close out his ministry in Acts chapter 19 and verse 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles, or uncommon things that you would not commonly see take place. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And so even years, maybe as many as 25 to 30 years after the outpouring of the Spirit in Jerusalem, and the first time that there were gifts of the Spirit that began to be distributed to the body of Christ, it's still going on. The Apostle Paul is still being used mightily of the Lord to bring about wonderful miracles. And so when you read the New Testament, it's going to be obvious to you that God wants to move in a supernatural way. God wants to work among His people in a supernatural way. He wants to work in the church in a supernatural way, beyond the common, beyond the ordinary. He wants to reveal His mighty power and manifest Himself by the power of the Spirit of God. And you say, well, what are all these things and why are they so important? Well, they are important for a lot of different reasons. But I'm going to just give you just a couple of things here tonight so that you can I really want to stir up your mind and your heart toward a desire to seek after these things. Now, always it's true whenever you read the New Testament that just like we talked about this morning, that healings and the message of the gospel are almost one and the same. You can't separate them. Where there was this message of salvation, there was also provided in the atonement this message that Jesus Christ is the healer. And it's true also for the other gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit that they're connected with. The preaching of the gospel. They would preach the gospel, and then there would be signs following. After that they would preach, there would be the manifestation of the Spirit after they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even to those that didn't know the Lord, those that were unsaved, the lost. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, talking about people who would come in among the believers, and whenever they would witness the manifest power of God, they would recognize that this was something supernatural. God is at work here. 1 Corinthians 14 and 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Amen. And so when there is this manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives and in the church, then those that don't know the Lord and they come in among us, when they experience that, when they witness that, it convinces them of their own need for God and that God is truly working in your life. Praise the Lord. And so as Pentecostals, we believe what the book of Acts says about the need. And really we're given here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, a very thorough explanation of the gifts of the Spirit and the motivation for the use of these gifts of the Spirit and how they're to be used. Exact, precise directions as to how that they're to be used. Now, there has to be, and I believe that one of the things that lends to confusion in the body of Christ is that we believe that there should be the spontaneous move of the Spirit. That is, that we make our plans, we have our service and the order of our service, but it may be that God wants to come in by His Spirit and just interrupt what we're doing, interrupt what is going on there. And so we believe that there is the possibility of an open manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives and even in our church services. But then there's also the balance that's offered here in these scriptures, in that the spontaneous is to be balanced with, we know that God is not the author of confusion. Amen. And so there's this balance of the spontaneous move and the working of the gifts of the Spirit with a desire to please the Lord and to be submissive and to move with the flow of the Spirit of God. Amen. That's a wonderful thing when that's happening. Whenever there is a move of the Spirit and there's just a flowing and a working and a moving of the Spirit of God. We didn't necessarily plan it, but we desire it. We covet God's presence and power be manifested in our lives. And so there has to be the balance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. That everything that is done. Now we know that if everyone can, there's another verse of scripture which I didn't give to Brother James, but it talks about the fact that they're going to come in and if they see everybody speaking another unknown tongue and all these things happening at the same time and that it's confusion and they're going to see what's going on and they're going to think that we're mad because there's all this craziness that's going on and no real order. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Let all things be done unto edifying. You'll find that phrase, that word, edifying, three times here in the 14th chapter, edify or edifying. Let all things, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. That there's not to be confusion. There's not to be anything that would bring division or promote disunity in the body of Christ. Whenever the Spirit of God is at work and moving, it is not going to be chaos. Amen. It is going to be a flow. It is going to be a moving of the Spirit of God. It's going to be an order, orderly thing that God does, not necessarily planned or ordered by a man or any individual, but it is going to be the working and the moving of the Spirit of God, and God's going to do it. Now, the big question that comes up with many is that people would ask the question, well, are these gifts for today? Or were they done away with? And there's a lot more questions than I could address here tonight, so I'm just going to talk about a couple of these questions that are most prominently brought up whenever it comes to concern about whether or not that these gifts of the Spirit are for today. And the first one is some believe that the Lord withdrew them after the apostolic age. that they were withdrawn. They were just for the initiation of the church, the beginning days of the church, but then they were withdrawn. Of course, we don't believe that. We believe that what was initiated at Pentecost and in the first century church has not been completed. It's still continuing and still should be operating in our lives and in our churches among the people of God. A couple of verses. First of all, Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. It just simply means God doesn't change His order or His purpose. He stays with His purpose and His calling. He is not going to change. And then some would say, well, yeah, but these things, why can't you read about them or know about the fact that they've been going on down through the centuries, that there has been this operation of the gifts of the Spirit of God? Well, if you're willing, you have to remember that many things have not been recorded down through the centuries, but there are many, many, which I cannot give you all the accounts, but down through the centuries there have been many, many accounts of the operations of the gifts of the Spirit in every century among believers who sought after these wonderful gifts. John Wesley said that they were not prevalent in the church because the love of many had waxed cold. He's a strong believer that these gifts should be sought after and desired among the people of God. And so it's not that Christ has withdrawn these gifts. They didn't just have a purpose for just a short season, but they are available to every believer and every church that will seek earnestly after these wonderful gifts. Amen. Others would have, and there's another area of question, and that would be the fact that some believe that after the New Testament was completed and that New Testament was canonized, which is a word that I'm not going to go into here tonight, but after they had the Word of God in their hands, that there was no longer the need for these gifts of the Spirit, which brings up another important thing, and that is the gifts of the Spirit are always subject to the Word of God. We do not have any private interpretation. We do not have any greater interpretation. As a matter of fact, one of the ways that the use of the gifts of the Spirit in the church are to be judged, they are to be judged by the Word of God. And if they are contrary to the Word of God, then obviously it is not a true and a pure use of the gift of the Spirit. Amen. Because it will always align with the truth of God's Word. This is the infallible Word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Talking about the Word of God. That shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God has been preserved for us. And so if someone prophesies or give tongues interpretation, and it is a message that is contrary and out of agreement with the Word of God, you reject it and you judge it by the Word of the Lord. I've heard of prophecies that have been wild and crazy, ridiculous. I've heard of a pastor who prophesied and said that that the Lord had spoken that he should give up his wife and marry another woman in the church. He prophesied that. But he spoke to the convenience of the lust of the flesh and to doing what he wanted to do. But that wasn't the will of God, because we know that that is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. And so you reject it. And whatever it is, if it brings glory to the flesh and glory to that individual, then you reject it. You reject it and you judge it by the Word of God. That's why it's important to know what the Bible says. And so we do not believe that Christ withdrew these gifts just because it was just for the days of the disciples. We do not believe that that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation to offer a new word, a new prophecy, a new word that is superior to the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak, and many times through a prophetic word or through other operations of the gifts of the Spirit, He confirms the word. He confirms the word by the working of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the best way to judge a prophecy is whether or not it comes to pass. Amen. Amen. You judge it by its accuracy and by its fulfillment. Amen. Now let's look for just a moment at these gifts of the Spirit. And I won't take a lot more time here tonight, but it's important that we at least have a quick overview of these here tonight. We were talking about the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to give you two things here as far as purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. Number one, they were to provide a spiritual ability far greater than the greatest natural ability you could ever supply. The gifts of the Spirit provide an ability to you, a strength and a power to you that even in your greatest natural ability, you could never be able to do it. Secondly, they are given to us to provide a basis and an order for our worship and for our ministry. An order to it. As we already said, that it's to be done. Everything is to be done unto edification, to build up the body of Christ and to strengthen and to help the body of Christ. Everything is to be done decently and in order, in a proper order, so that whenever it takes place in our services, in our ministry, in our lives, that we have this foundational truth. Amen. Now let's look at these gifts. First of all, I don't know, Brother James, if you were able to do that or not. All right, good. Thank you. The first category is these three are the knowledge gifts. Knowledge gifts. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now remember, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, then you can begin to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to allow you to be used in these areas of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Seek the gifts. Seek to be used of the Lord, not for your glory, not for your recognition, but that God might work through your life to accomplish things that you cannot naturally accomplish. Amen. Everybody still with me here? Amen. So there's these knowledge gifts, and let's just real quickly talk about them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, really those two they're very close and very similar. And really the easiest way to distinguish between the two is knowledge is supernatural information. God who gives you information that you could never know yourself. But God speaks to your heart, speaks to your mind, and gives to you supernatural information. Amen. A scriptural example of that is when Peter is sitting there and Ananias and Sapphira, they come in there to offer their gifts. No one had told him what was going on, but he received by the Holy Ghost supernatural information about them. And so he was able to say to them, "Why have you conspired together to lie to the Holy Ghost?" How did he know that? It was supernatural information. God spoke to him and gave to him a knowledge of something that he could have not naturally have known. Now, wisdom, we know that wisdom is just the use of knowledge. It's just the proper use of the knowledge that you have. And we know that Scripture says that wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And so, wisdom is the proper use of the knowledge. It's the ability to use what you know for the glory of God. The use of wisdom. And oh, how we need wisdom in our lives. Every day we need wisdom to know what to do and how to respond and what to do. And many times I have people say to me, I've got this need. I've got this problem. I just don't know what to do. And I have to admit, I don't have the answer. I would like to give them counsel as to what to do, but I understand that that gift is from the Lord. Now, this wisdom, it's distinguished from the wisdom of natural wisdom or even the wisdom of years. We talk about how that experience, and certainly years of experience, is a profitable thing and it's a good thing. And it's to be used for the glory of God as well. But this is not talking about the wisdom of years or the wisdom of experience. That still fits in the category of natural wisdom. This is wisdom that is a revelation from God. It's supernatural information and the supernatural ability to use that knowledge for the glory of God. Amen. So that is the best way that I know how to describe the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And they are wonderful gifts of the Spirit that are so needed in these days. And then the third in this category is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. Now that does not mean, a lot of people call it just discernment. And they think that really it's like glorified curiosity and just being really suspicious of things. And that's not at all what discernings of spirits are. You can misread what's going on in the life of the person if you just try to judge them, sometimes by their words or by the way that they're acting. That's only surface things. You may not be able, even with your those that are the most perceptive of people. And some people can really, they have an ability to really read people and figure them out pretty quickly. But even with all those natural abilities, this is not discernment, but this is the gift of the discerning of spirits to determine what spirit that person is being motivated by. That spirit, remember, whenever Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," he called him a devil. He said, "Get behind me." He discerned the spirit that he was speaking when he was saying, "No, Lord, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to go to the cross. I don't want you to do all these things that you're saying that you're going to do." And he said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, Peter wasn't Satan, but he was being motivated by that spirit and the ability to discern. Oh, how necessary that it is in the body of Christ and in the church today. There's so much stuff that's being thrown out there today. All kinds of information. All kinds of Christian books and Christian videos and Christian TV and Christian radio and all this thing. You can listen to one teacher and the very next one that comes on will contradict the one before. It's a confusing age. That's why that you need to ask the Lord, "Lord, help me to be able to discern the spirit of that person or of that ministry. Give me a supernatural ability to see what's going on in the lives of that person." So it comes by a revelation from the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a prominent emerging church pastor right now. I'll just say who you probably never heard of him. Some of you have, maybe. His name is Rob Bell. He's got a massive church, but he's just put out a book, and he is now talking about denying the fact that there is a hell. Well, we know what the Bible says. Jesus spoke more in the New Testament and the Gospels about hell and the warnings about hell than he even did heaven. We know that the teaching concerning the abode of those who are not saved, and what the Bible says, there's dozens and dozens of places in the Scripture that teach it. But Rob Bell now has come out with a book saying that God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't send people to hell. He wouldn't allow that to happen. He's a God of love, a God of mercy, and he has a big book, and they're interviewing him. And he's got all this news media and prominence I just went through this to say we need to be discerning of the spirit of ministries and lives and what people are saying and what they're doing. Don't just accept everything and be gullible. You can't believe every wind of doctrine. Amen. Amen. If you're questioning about what someone is saying, about what someone is teaching or preaching, pray about it. Examine it by the word of God. See if it stands the test of the Scripture. And ask the Lord to help you to see through the deceptive lies that are so prevalent in these last days. You know that Paul, he didn't depend upon his own knowledge or wisdom or ability. He totally depended upon God. He literally just set aside. While Paul was learned, educated in the law of God, and had a tremendous amount of information, he determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. He just set aside his own natural wisdom and instead depended upon revelation. Wisdom from God, knowledge from the Lord, discerning of spirits. Now let me move on real quickly here. Another category, and that is the utterance gifts. Utterance gifts. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecies. These utterance gifts that I know that some would debate that they are, that they have a place in the body of Christ, in the church. I believe that they do. I believe that they do, and that the Apostle Paul has taken chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 to give emphasis to this and instruction concerning the use of these gifts in the body of Christ. Again, they are to be done decently and in order. Amen. Glory to God. Tongues and interpretation really are one and the same. The scripture is clear that you are not to speak a message in tongues unless you can interpret, or there's someone there that will interpret what is being spoken. And so the tongues with the interpretation is equal with prophecy. These are the utterance gifts whereby God speaks and declares in a service. Of course, it will never be contrary to the word of the Lord. But he will give this supernatural ability to speak, amen, and to declare truths, a prophetic word that it goes forth, that speaks specifically to the lives of individuals, and that it will be evident that it's from God, and that God confirms that it will be, as I've already said, this prophetic word. And this prophecy is not by private interpretation. Whenever you speak a prophecy, that word is a word, a revelation from God, and you speak concerning these things and declare the truth that God has spoken by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we have prophecy, which is inspired utterance. God, who inspires you and give you words, and tongues that you speak in a language that you do not understand, but you speak forth and give messages that are from God. And these are for a sign. It's not the same thing as your prayer language where people say, well, I pray in tongues, but I don't know that it has a place in the body of Christ. But it does have a place in the body of Christ. Another place it talks about the fact that whenever a person speaks in other tongues, that it is a sign to the unbeliever. And I've seen this and witnessed this over the years several different times, where it confirmed to people that were in that meeting that there was something supernatural going on, and it stirred their heart to hear that God was speaking in that place. Amen. And so there is this inspired utterance, tongues with the interpretation, prophecies, and these words go forth always in agreement with the word of the Lord, and always edifying and building up the saints. Amen. And then the third category are the power gifts, gifts of faith, healing, and miracles. Amen. Faith, healing, and miracles. Now, there's, as I said, this subject is huge. And so let me just say that for our purpose here tonight, I'm going to tell you that faith is a divine certainty. It is a divine confidence. It is an assurance from God. Amen. Rock solid confidence in the Lord. Amen. And what his word says, faith you're not going to be able to survive without it. You come to the Lord and you're saved by faith, and faith is going to continue to provide for you this certainty, this gift of the Spirit of God that helps you to know that God has spoken and He is going to fulfill what He has promised that He will fulfill. And then healings. We talked this morning. Most of the service was about healings, but not necessarily about the gifts of healing. Remember, all these are gifts that are available to us if we seek earnestly these gifts. Asking the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. Help my faith. That's an appropriate prayer. Lord, make my faith stronger. Help me, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to believe and to have a confidence that you are at work. And then the gift of healing. This is not someone that's just a faith healer. This is an individual, anyone in the body of Christ that's asked the Lord, Lord, use me to be able to administer to people in their physical need. And through the prayer of faith, people's lives can be changed and they can be miraculously healed for the glory of God. Amen. This was power from God for the crisis, for the circumstance of your physical need. And He gives to us the gift of healing. And then miracles. Miracles. Supernatural acts of God. Workings of God. Outside of our natural ability. God just moving by His Spirit and using us to manifest His power to accomplish things that we could never in our own power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The most important thing for the church to be doing is asking the Lord, Lord, if you want to use me in any of these areas, then I desire to be used. Amen. I desire to be used. Amen. And as a preacher of the gospel, I ask the Lord from time to time, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Help me, Lord, to know what you want said. To know, to speak the words that would bring glory and honor to you, Lord, because our own words are going to fall to the ground. They're not going to accomplish anything. But when we ask the Lord, Lord, empower me and give me the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability to speak. Amen. I had an old pastor that had a third grade education that I grew up under until I was just a teenage boy. And he never went to Bible school, never, you know, he didn't have any formal training at all. He just Holy Ghost filled and a man who studied the Word and he wasn't, you know, a perfect reader. He was a pretty good reader, but he spent hours and hours and hours in the Word of God, hours and hours in prayer. He was anointed of the Spirit of God. And whenever he got up to preach, many times, you know, it would just be amazing that the Lord would use him to say things that would speak so directly and even to specific needs and situations that were in that place. He didn't have the natural ability to do those things. He was absolutely dependent upon God. Hallelujah. And so these gifts are given to us to provide an order and a basis for our church and our ministry and our worship. Oh, how we need God to move. I've been reminded, I just had a few years, 3 years or so, we lived here during the time that Sister Saylor was alive. Many times when Sister Saylor would stand up, it would be a word of knowledge. Sometimes it would be a prophetic word. It was amazing. But it was because she spent hours and hours and hours, you know, just meditating and waiting before the Lord, time in the Word of God. And whenever she would stand up, it was not just a repetitive type testimony or something, but it was truly a word from the Lord. Amen. And God would use her to speak directly to individuals and directly to people and give to them knowledge and wisdom and information that come from heaven. How needed that is. Amen. In our lives right now, God working and moving by His Holy Spirit among us. Seek to be used of the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, my desire tonight is just to stir up an interest and a hunger for more of the move of God in our lives. And Lord, I know your word is true. And I know, Lord, that as we look into the scriptures, Lord, that you have made wonderful provision for the church and the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we're not out on some limb of extremism, but Lord, we're looking at the word of God and we understand that this is a wonderful provision for the body of Christ in the church. Help us, Lord, to accept it and to believe it and then to seek after these gifts, Lord, that they would be added to our lives by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, stir up a desire among your people, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit and to be used of God in these areas of gifts that are available to each one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to gather in here around the altars for a time of prayer. And a wonderful thing we can do is we can come asking the Lord to use us. Asking the Lord to use us. In these areas, we need to hear from God. We need the voice of God. We need the power of God manifested among us. It's available. Hallelujah. It is available to us. Seek earnestly these gifts. Ask the Lord to give you gifts of the Spirit, whereby the Spirit of God will be manifested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I welcome everybody to this altar tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you're not a Christian, this would be a wonderful time for you just to commit your life and your days and your future to the Lord. You can do that in an altar of prayer. You can do that right there at your seat. You can call upon the Lord. And I encourage you to do that. Amen. Let's come and pray.